I was gonna do like witch like, and you can put some like lightning in. Oh, and then we just like guest over.
Oh, we can do that for another episode for sure.
Okay. Cut that out. We don't want to ruin it.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school. One who graduated. One who did. And they decided to make a podcast. Okay. This has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
They put that together. They saw what you two were doing.
They did that specifically for you
the
guys.
The one clown's like, give me a chainsaw. I'm going to fuck these guys up. And you'll be proud of me. I didn't fall in love with a single coworker, even though I was blasted off my ass in weed.
I'm so proud of you.
I almost proposed to someone I got so high once in a pottery class. I'd excuse myself and said my tummy hurt. Because I turned to her for help with my pot that I was struggling to make.
And you said, will you marry me?
I almost did. I looked at her. I'm like, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. An actual angel. I went, my tummy hurts. I need to go home. Tell the professor. Because otherwise I would have said, I think I'm in love with you, which would have been bad.
That's perfect.
It's perfect. It's why legally giving me weed without my consent is considered like date rape. If you hand me weed, that's a roofie for me. I'm gone. I'm easy pickings.
I think handing anyone weed without consent is like...
roofying.
Yeah. No.
Not a like dangerous roofie, but a pretty dangerous roofie for you.
Yeah, it's horrific. It's I'm terrified that I'm gonna find a stalker who discovers this, and then she like Stockholm syndromes me through like weed use. She's like, come on over, and then she's like, King Gizzard the Lizard Wizard's playing, and she hands me weed. I'm like, this is it. I'm gone. I'm lost.
I would love for the internet to hear this.
Well, they probably will.
Oh, they absolutely will. We've been recording for 5 minutes now.
Okay.
You're going to have to cut some of this, though, aren't you, buddy? You're going to have to cut some
of
this. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I'm, as always, the easily roofied Matthew Olenchek, joined, as always, by my wonderful chainsaw clown-fearing husband, parentheses work, Harrison Poole. How are you, baby?
I'm doing fine. I'm living, laughing, loving. How are you, hon?
I'm living, laughing, loving. Here for the beginning of Guest-tober. That's right. We're doing an event. We have like 5 episodes out and not a lot of followers, but we're doing an event because that's event cinema. That's all we do these days, right? It's like fucking Marvel movies and shit. And so we're cashing in. We're cashing in. We're also selling out because I know we started this podcast as like a safe place on the internet for straight white men because they really don't have a voice in media, and we're like the first podcast of two straight white men to talk about movies, but I decided that we need to get those numbers up, so I brought a woman on as a guest. Hey, Jenna.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Jenna's a film of ours. That's a crazy thing to say. Is a friend of ours from film school, because apparently film school is mostly women.
Oh yeah, totally.
Mostly women. Mostly gay women of color.
Sorry.
You're staring at me like I'm going to cut this.
No, I'm staring at you just wondering where the bit's going.
I don't know. You know, it's going all over the place. It's going to a spooky... Fuck, I was going to do a spooky bit at the beginning of this podcast. God damn it.
Do it now, and I may or may not cut to it.
I was going
to
do, like, like, and you can put some, like, lightning in, oh, and then we just, like, guest over.
Oh, we can do that for another episode for sure.
Okay. Cut that out. We don't want to ruin it.
Sure, absolutely.
It's okay. I'm the trial run here.
It's the trial run, yeah. It's our second guest. The first one broke into the apartment, so that wasn't, like, planned.
Yeah, no, Brandon did break it.
He just kind of broke in. We were going to watch a different movie. Which
is that why we locked the door?
Yeah, it's mostly for him because he just broke through the door. He's like, Troll Hunter! And we're like, okay, God damn. You have a key.
So, Jenna, you brought the movie this week.
Yes, I brought Hellfest this week. I was really excited for you guys to watch this. Have you guys watched it like before this?
I have not, no.
It ruined the premise of this podcast.
Sorry. I'm very sorry. Because I watched it when it first came out back in, 2018, I think?
It's 2018, yeah.
2018?
Good year.
Because I remember when I got out of the case the other day to rewatch it again, because, you know, spooky time, it's time for those type of movies, I realized I left my receipt in there, and I tend to do that a lot, and it said that I bought it in January of 2019. Hmm. It's like, wow, it's been delayed that long.
Delayed purchase, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year I graduated college.
Which the Lighthouse is your graduation movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that movie finals week. Which wow. also... Yeah.
But no, it was a it's what I wanted. It's what you were a big fan of schlocky horror films, and it did not disappoint in that regard. And I like, because the only thing I can even say even slightly negative about this movie, and it works for it, is that the camera's too crisp at times.
Yeah.
It's like shot on a red camera, the best camera ever made, the best camera in existence. It's 4K. But other than like the sharp camera work, there's like nothing functionally bad about this movie. No. The sound's great, like all the set's great. It feels like how I imagine a haunted area would feel like. I don't mm-hmm. truly remember, but from my vague recollection of being there, that was the vibe.
Yeah, it's basically like a haunted house meets Coachella, and they go and there's areas where you can, you know, go watch shows, go watch music, performances, but then you have all the different haunted houses and mazes. And I guess there's like other rides there. They reference it at one point when they're about to go on the Night Bumps ride to get to the other area of the park. They're like, oh, we're in a line for another ride. And they're like, no, this is the ride that takes you to the other side of the park. She's like, oh, okay. I'm like, okay, so that'd be fun. And like, you know, the area of the park where they can touch you and all the different types of haunted houses there. And I feel like it would be such a fun place to go to if it was real. Yeah. I would 100% visit it.
It was really well made for a traveling show. That's the one that stuck out to me as like the one thing that almost broke my suspension of disbelief is like, this is incredibly high production for a traveling show. This is $1 million enterprise.
I mean, maybe they don't go to many places.
They could probably also make that money back if it's something, if it's this good.
It's like Warp Tour, but for haunted houses.
And I do. There was a maze. There was a maze at the Cedar Point one because mm-hmm. it shut down. And I was like, I think someone died in there. And I guess ooh. I was actually, in fact, in the plot of Hellfest.
So everything shut down, and then the killer got into the cart with.
I don't. I was drinking alcohol on top of the weed at this point. I just vaguely remember thinking, I think someone died in there, which, given my supernatural abilities at this point, was probably the truth.
Ever since I've watched that movie, I've always been afraid that that's gonna be real. Like, there's a dead person just laying there, and I don't even know it.
I'm surprised. That was my other thought watching this movie, because I listen to a lot of like true crime podcasts. I'm really into that stuff. Really hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not encouraging this as a route anyone should do. It seems prime killing territory is like a thing like this. Like, you go to fucking Hollow Weekends and murder like at least 3 women before anyone noticed.
I feel like if you made them a part of the attraction, it would smell very quickly, and you can immediately tell which was a dummy and which one was real, though. Like,
yeah, because they do mention that it took like 3 days for them to realize the one girl had been
that was too long
dead. And that definitely seems like
if
a long
that's
time.
The truth, like there are other concerns at this place. It's a health code hazard. If it smells that bad mm-hmm. that you can't smell, because like you can, I think it's like I want to say the shortest amount of time before a body starts to smell is like 6 hours.
Sure,
it takes a bit.
Yeah.
How do you know this?
I listen to a lot of true crime. All right, podcasts.
Moving on.
Yeah. My new trunk can store 3 women. Which people have not appreciated.
Maybe
like,
shouldn't be here.
How
right
much
now.
Trunk room do you have? I say 3 women. And they always say, are you killing women? I'm like, no, you could store like 9 then. I'm saying you could comfortably store like 2 men. It's a huge trunk. Subarus are a great brand of car. That's my endorsement of them. Give us money.
Anyway, the other thing is like, was she not like dripping blood all over the place? Like, did nobody step on it and realize that there was like footprints of blood?
They might have thought it's fake. I mean, that's the... In another movie, which I dearly love. Which, have you seen Velvet Buzzsaw?
No.
Is that not on my list?
I've seen Nightcrawler. I've not seen Velvet,
Velvet
Buzzsaw.
Velvet Buzzsaw has a thing like that, too, where mm-hmm. there's like a dead body with a bunch of blood, but they think it's part of the art exhibit.
Okay.
I think...
You know what? I think I might have watched it once, but I don't remember anything about it.
It's really good. It's really good, and I'm such a fan, and no one's ever seen it. It's schlocky horror. It's a schlocky horror film.
Okay, then yes.
With
I
Jake
will need
Gyllenhaal,
to rewatch it.
Bare-ass Jake Gyllenhaal. Fucking ripped. He's ripped. Dude. He got big for Roadhouse. I've like, even seen Velvet Buzzsaw. He is shredded. Also really hairy. And it's like Malkovich is in it too. But I think it kind of gives them the thing, like, if you're going into a place where you're like, oh, there's going to be prop dead bodies around.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a dead body and immediately think, that's a real dead body. Especially if you're, like, you're like running through a haunted house.
That's true.
Because the people aren't, like, stopping and, like, poke. Well, some of them do. But, like, you're not, like, examining it. You're just going to be like, oh, it's fake blood.
Yeah, like the guy that bends down and he's like, oh, I see one of those, like, jello shot syringes. I'm going to bend down and grab it. And then the girl, like, jump scares him. Like, most people aren't going to bend down and, like, pick up a prop they see in the middle of a haunted
house.
Yeah,
most people are just going, whoa, right through it.
Yeah. Like, I'll look at it like they did, like, looking at the veins and stuff. Oh, which that's so cool.
Hot take? Hot take?
Yeah.
Maybe they shouldn't have been spending all the time looking around. Maybe they should have treated a haunted house like you're supposed to, running through it, and the guy wouldn't have gotten them.
They did, though. They tried. Except for that, the first one, when she, like, watched the girl get stabbed right in front of her. Like, I'm not going to stand there and watch that show unless, like, unless I know that it's part. But, like, obviously, like, you could tell that this was not part.
Yeah, I could tell if someone was really being stabbed. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident in that. Is that if I watched a person be actually murdered in front of me, I'd be like, that's an actual murder and I should call the police. We should talk about the plot of this movie. We're just going to go completely off the rails.
They don't know anything about it so far.
Because it starts off with, like, the subplot, which doesn't matter, which is how you know it's going to be a good schlocky horror film. Is there, like, it's like, oh, this is this girl who was off at college?
Yes. So Natalie.
Natalie.
She's off at college. She's, like, super smart, has to study to get, like, keep her scholarships and everything. And she tells her best friend, Brooke, I guess they've been, like, childhood best friends. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm going to come visit you around Halloween time. And they, turns out one of their friends got them tickets to Hellfest. And so they were all going as a group to go to this place. And they were all just going to have a really great night, get drunk in the park, go have a good time.
And there's the one girl who that she knew, like, in, like, elementary or, like, before college that she doesn't really get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy that got them the tickets, she thinks is cute and he thinks she's cute. And there's, like, a love plot that doesn't go super far outside of the guy being super pathetic.
Yeah, he's super
he's
cringy.
He's sad. That guy's a film degree. I've seen his type before.
Definitely.
I had that exact thought as I was watching. I was creating real life analogs in my
head. He has the sad film guy haircut.
Yes.
He does.
He dresses like a film guy, too.
Everything
about him.
And then there's also the other thing I noticed was they have the fucking, I'm going to just keep referencing the last episode, I almost called it Megan's body again. Jennifer's body's a necklace thing going on where they have the matching necklace, which I was like, ah.
And they ended up using that in the end of the film. Mm-hmm. It was very subtle, but I liked that, what they did with that.
And then so they all get together. He's like, oh, I'm not going to fuck this guy. Would he fuck me? He's like, yeah, let's go have a great time. And then we get to Hellfest where the movie acts. No, it starts with a murder.
Yeah, it opens up with that girl from Orange Grove, Orange County, one of those two, getting killed.
Yeah, I forgot that it doesn't surprise you. You don't go to this thinking it's going to be a love story. And, like, suddenly it's a horror movie. They do a good job of, like, showing up front that this man's gonna just murder you. I like the kind of, like, because of the spooky music, he keeps humming Pop Goes the Weasel, and then they have, like, during the opening credits, they do what I really like in movies, is where they still have dialogue over the opening credits, because they're just, like, doing some quick world building where it's like, this guy's following us everywhere.
Yeah, just giving you that background information.
And then, yeah, he just, like, shanks her and hangs her up on a hook, which I think is the previous murder that they reference, right?
Yeah.
Because then they're like, the one girl's talking about how she's so scared, like, you know, all this stuff. And then she talks about people being murdered. And Taylor, the one girl, stops her and she's like, no, like, it actually happened. And that's when they reference
the
beginning of the
murder.
Movie.
And then they just kind of do a bunch of Halloween stuff for a bit.
They kind of act like typical college students, 21 years old.
Which is weird. Like that's why I don't like this. Spoilers. This movie has, like, a 55 in Rotten Tomatoes because no one understands schlocky horror these days and they want everything to be good. And yet, every Marvel movie, it's great.
It's the same plot every time.
And yet they're going to give that movie, like, probably at least a 60. And this great movie, which, like, really brought me into the Halloween experience. It has the gaudy lighting of one of these events. I'm a big fan of the lighting in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It has that gaudy lighting that we hired like a lighting technician, but the budget's only so big. But hey, it's Halloween, everyone's drunk, we know what we're doing, we know the textbook. And they put it out and they're running around, they're goofing around, they're doing shots, they're playing games. That boys being really sad and really bad at carnival games.
They're messing around in the haunted houses, like running through. And then the one guy is like making fun of his girlfriend for getting scared. Like, the, you know, the typical college student stuff going and doing these things.
That's when I was like, this was going to be a good movie. Because I'm like, they're doing such a good job of capturing this experience that I'm immersed in the world fully. Is this where we first see Mr. Does he have a name?
I don't think so.
I don't think he ever has a name.
He has a name in the script.
I think it's like Masked Man or
would not shock me.
Just Killer or something like that. Because, you know, there's like 15 other of these guys wearing this mask around the park. And so eventually it comes to this point that they run into other guys wearing this mask. And they're like, well, shit, now we don't know who it is. It must be part of the experience. And she's like, no, it's not.
Okay, his name is The Other?
Oh, yeah, because they, okay, in the Night Bumps ride, when they take that ride over to the Deadlands, which is the part of the park that
they
say The Other, like, let the other guide you. And that's when all the 15 guys, like, come out of the shadows.
I have to stress that his actor picture is, like, him wearing tactical gear. He's wearing, like, an
armor. So you literally don't know what this guy looks like? Or who is this?
Him right here.
Really?
Just some random guy.
Because you never see his face in the movie, even in the beginning. Like, when he first walks in the Hellfest, you only see his back. And then at the end, you still only see his back.
I take it. This guy. I'm going to go into real detail about this one guy. We're going to learn a bit about this because I want to tie it into what I really like about this character. He was a lifeguard, then a Marine in Afghanistan, then a parachuter, then an airline transport pilot.
Why does this make so much sense?
He spends most of his time hiking, rafting, backpacking. I think this might be the only movie he's in.
And this is like the real guy.
This is the real guy. This is really what he does. This is the... Does he even have a list of movies he's been in?
They might not have. They might have just, like, gotten a random guy.
Yeah, I think it's just some random guy. And he did great. Because, like, we were talking about this when he first got here, before we were recording. One thing I don't like about slasher films that tends to crop up is they always have to, like, ooh, we have to make the slasher, like, oh, it's the boyfriend, oh, it's the mom, it's the dad. It's always, like, this weird... fucking, like, we're gonna make a backstory for this. And it's like, sometimes I just want to see a slasher movie where just some fucking guy is killing people. Why does he have to have this big complex backstory?
It's like the first Halloween movie until they redo things and make him the brother in, like, future shit. But like what makes Michael Myers so scary is that, like, he's just a dude. And also, like, it's like with Hellfest, you see, like, one shot of his face for, like, half a second. But, like, you don't see his face. He's just, like,
it's the evil mask. Incarnate. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's also scary because that's truer to life. Like, most serial killers, like, they're not like, I killed my entire friend group in a spooky night, and they're going to make a movie called Scream about it. Like, most of them are just like, I went to a bar and I picked someone up and I killed them. Or like, I picked up a woman on the road who needed a hitchhiker and I murdered her. Because, like, most serial killers are trying not to get caught. Eventually they reach a point where they do try to get caught. It's usually like there's a cool down period and eventually they get to a point where
they want to play that cat and mouse game.
And you can't do that if you're killing people you know. That's why, like, whenever someone dies, the first people the police look into is people that, like, are close to you.
Like, when they're like, oh, yeah, the wife or the husband died, it's the spouse. Yeah. It's usually the spouse.
It's why it's so hard to catch serial killers is because they're just random people murdering random people. Often, people who society won't care about if they disappear. Real, real here.
It's terrifying.
That's why there's so many prostitutes end up dead, because the police won't check into it. And usually no one will report that they're missing.
All right, Jack the Ripper.
Never caught him. Never caught him, did they?
That's true. But yeah, I think that's why I agree. That's why I really like this guy, is because we get a little intel at the end of the movie, him walking into his house.
It was such a good scene.
Oh, the last 2 minutes of the movie are the best 2 minutes.
I was worried. I'm like, please don't reveal it with somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be so upset this is a reveal. And they don't. They don't show his face.
No. He opens up his little cabinet and there's like 7 masks in there from other times that he's killed. And maybe he was successful. Maybe he was not. Because the only time they ever show him actually killing anybody outside of the events of the movie is the beginning of the movie to get a little bit of backstory. And you see like all little trinkets in this cabinet as well that he has, like some girl's glasses. He throws the one girl's picture from the movie in there along with some other pictures and hair clips and necklaces and stuff. And it's like, it's so creepy. And then he turns around and he's in his house, this like basic suburban dad, his daughter's like sleeping on the couch.
And they play the music for a second, like he's going to murder her. And then she goes, Dad, did you bring me anything? And he goes down and hugs her. And it's like, he's a family man.
Yeah. He's just some regular guy living in the suburbs, like, nice car.
Once a year. Once a year goes and kills people.
It's fine. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm actually a big fan of this guy. Look, suburban, it's hard for a single dad out there. And sometimes they need to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
What better way than to go stalk a group of college students at a horror festival and just gut them all in different ways?
Gut them in different ways. When does he first show up in the...
They're already in the parks. And he goes through security.
It was the house. Yeah, because he goes through security.
And he ends up
picking up a knife.
Yeah, from one of the street vendors, which like at a normal event like this, I don't think they would have like street vendors with giant knives just sitting there, because that seems a little dangerous. Because, you know, 90% of the people at this place are probably masked and we don't even know if they work there or not. But he goes and he's like stalking this other girl who's like, you're not scary, like, ugh, whatever. But then he ends up like slaughtering her in the first house that the group were
meets it, because they see the one guy and they're like, oh, you're not scary. And then she stares.
She watches him kill her.
Because the woman runs in and she's like, oh my God, help you, please. He's after me. And she crawls under something. And they go, that's pretty good. And then he just walks in and looks at all of them. They're like,
the girl you're looking for is over there.
And he like drags her out, just holds the knife to her. And she's like, do it. And he just stabs her and looks at her. And she goes, and leaves.
And they were like, are you okay?
That was real. That was scary.
And they just laugh and then take another shot and ignore it like it's nothing.
So I gotta know, were you getting flashbacks to Catholic whatever when they were in deformed school?
I didn't go to Catholic school.
You didn't? I thought you did. I'm sorry.
That would be insane.
Sorry. I went to church school for 15 years. We all know this. I was getting major flashbacks.
I would have been kicked out.
Yeah.
I was in detention like every day, buddy, in high school.
It was very funny when they first walk into that deformed school haunted house and they're just like messing around like normal. And then they walk over to the one guy laying on the ground, just like, you know, it's not even a real person. I think it was just like a body that they put in some clothes. And they were like, let's give him a boner. He deserves it. Give him some dignity after death.
And that's one thing I know about Catholics that a scan.
Yeah.
That would work. Also, all the names of the attraction, these are like perfect. Mm-hmm. These are real names that people would name things at an event like this.
It's 100%. Deformed school.
Deformed school.
My favorite was like when they were talking about where to go to first, and the one guy, the dorky film guy, the nerd,
Gavin.
He was like, let's do the zombie maze. And everybody's like, bruh. What the fuck?
Zombie maze. The only name I think they really kind of like, you could put more effort in, is This Is Hell.
Yeah, the scariest haunted house.
What do we call the scariest one? Hell.
It gets me every time because I'm watching them go through that haunted house at the end during the big scene when they're trying to escape from the guy and nobody else is there. And I'm like, first of all, there are no scare actors in this entire building unless they had already been evacuated. Okay, that's what I thought. Because I was like, wouldn't there maybe be like a couple people finishing up in there? Then I'm like, okay, no. But I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. I'm like, this isn't that scary. Yeah, I thought, honestly, the other ones they went to, the one where they had like the 3 options and they split up, that one was scarier.
I if you hired me and you said, hey, Matthew, famous podcaster, you want to make a haunted house for us? I'm like, I'll do anything for money. And they said, okay, it's called Hell. Like, that's okay, that's a lot. I'd do a better job at this.
Yeah.
Like, you could get real, because this park has a fucking budget.
Mm-hmm.
This park has a budget, all right? We're gonna do like a Dante's Inferno thing. If you're calling it Hell, I'm making it, you're going into Hell. I'm saying we're putting like sinners on racks. We're gonna do the thing they do for the fucking like magicians, or like, because they have the map thing I really like, where you have to grab the map, you have to reach into a body,
yeah,
and the top half's a person, so he scares you. We're gonna do that, so we set it up so like you see a person get like ripped apart on a rack, and we do it with like like the bottom part's fake and the head's going through. Like, I'm doing like actual like torture shit. Like, you're walking into like Saw, but it's the Catholic devil.
You ever heard
devil.
Of McCaney Manor?
No.
The place where people go to get like, basically they'll sign up and it's like a haunted house, but they like torture you and
yeah,
they can
I've
cut
heard,
off
I've
your
heard
hair.
Of that, yeah.
Okay. That feels more like if they were doing something like that for
yeah,
Hell. Because like, you know, you're in this section of the park where they can touch you. Why not, you know, if it's the scariest haunted house, why not make it something like that?
Yeah, like if you
see how
like,
far they can go.
I'm like, so what are the legal things here? They signed a waiver. I'm going ham. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or like the 37th floor, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That haunted house. Like something like that. Why is it not something like
it's
that?
It's like that. Oh, what's his name? Nathan Does It For You?
Nathan Fielder.
Nathan Fielder. The show where
Nathan
like,
For You.
Nathan For You. The haunted house one?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
It's this one comedian who just deadpan. He's just a deadpan guy, and the whole show's stick is he's going to people to fix their businesses, and he's really bad at it because they do like a caricature. He goes to like a caricature artist, and mm-hmm. he's like, so what really sells is like racial stereotypes. So he's like,
oh,
he's making them like, he's like, make his teeth bigger. He's Chinese. You need to make his teeth huge. It's awful. But they do the haunted house one. And like the whole thing, so they get the people in, and like halfway through, like they're like freak, like something, they like shut it down, they're freaking out. It's like, did he touch you? And turns out, like, he has this horrific disease, and he's like, yeah, we have to get you to the hospital like right now.
Oh,
he didn't
God.
Fucking tell us. And so they put him in an ambulance, and it's like, he's in an ambulance, like people are like taking care of him, and they get the ambulance parks, and they opens it, and they're back in the haunted house. He's like, surprise, it's spooky. And
oh,
they're so pissed because he had called his mom. He's like, mom, I might be dying. This is the same guy.
I feel like I've definitely seen a little sliver of this now that you're saying like the ambulance re-pulling back in.
I would
it.
Love to just watch
it
as a mini series just for fun. Because like the final episode, like this is the man who's for the final episode's like, I'm going to do a magician's trick and I have to escape from this Houdini bonds. And if I don't do it in time, this machine will pull my pants down in front of this crowd of children. And if the children see my dick, there's a cop there. And so he'll arrest me for being a pedophile and be that forever. This is the greatest risk ever done in live television. So I'm just saying, like, if Nathan could do that for his fucking show,
why can't we have Hell be a little bit more?
Yeah.
I mean, outside of that, all the other haunted houses were
all
really good.
All of them were better. I don't know if maybe the movie ran out of budget.
Unless they were just like, yeah, we can't go too much because like everybody's pretty much supposed to be evacuated out of the park.
Just the props,
so.
Though, because like, the other ones, like, there's really like scary, kind of creepy,
yeah.
like meat hanging props. And this one, it's like there's a bunch of like dolls with their cloth over their faces, and there's a room of a bunch of masks.
Yeah,
that would be great for a scare act. That might be a scare act.
Yeah, that actually was like a pretty good room because then it didn't really have an escape. Like you had to find the exit for that. But then you end up after that in this like maze. Where it's just like the walls keep opening when you end up stepping on the lights to trigger them, like, and it wasn't that scary.
I'd be like, if I went to this, I walked away from it, I'd be like, it was really great. Hell was a letdown because everything else was so much better. This
yeah.
park slaps until you get to their star attraction.
Oh,
and then it
wait,
kinda sucked.
I think I got it.
Hmm.
So by that point, you're probably so drunk you don't even realize it. You don't even realize how bad it is because
oh,
you've
yeah.
been drinking before you get to that point. Because I think you have to be probably over 18 to get to the other part. You're not allowed in
yeah.
that first part unless you're
You can't sign. You can't sign a waiver unless you're an
yeah.
adult.
So, because technically, I think at the beginning of the movie when they're like first entering, I think it said you had to be like no kid under like 14.
Which seems reasonable. That's
yeah. Like, that's fine. But I guess you have to be over 18 to get into the Deadlands, which is fine.
Such a good name.
Yeah, I love that.
Go to Deadlands to see Hell. But yeah, so like, yeah, so anyway, they like completely, she completely ignores his murder. But then now she's the target. because mm-hmm. he saw her.
Because he's like, that simple. Oh, she doesn't think I'm scary. I'm going to show her.
It? Do you think yeah. that's it? Do you think that, like, if he came up to you and went, oh, God, dude, you're super scary, he would, like, leave you alone?
A man with a really big ego.
I feel like that's true.
What he feels like.
I feel like if you were like, oh, dude, you're super scary, he would leave you alone and find someone else.
Yeah, 100%. Because that's the same thing that happens at the beginning of the movie when she's like, you know, you're not scary. And then, like, later on, she's like, fine, you want me to be scared? I'm scared.
He doesn't kill a single person who doesn't think he's scary.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the spirit of Halloween, like Santa Claus.
And she kind of hunts him down, like, or he, sorry. He hunts them down by who thinks he's, like, the least scary to, like, who's the most scared of him. Because you can see as time goes on, like, obviously Natalie's, like, the most scared of him because she's constantly, like,
yeah, but he's already following us. He's already locked in at that point.
Yeah. He's already locked in, but he's looking at her and he's like, okay, she actually thinks I'm terrifying now. But the least terrified is Gavin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he splits off from the group because he's an idiot.
Yeah, because so, like, he's like, so they go into a photo booth hell. Together and they start taking, which I thought was actually like it was the only time I'm like, this guy's kind of, it was a cute scene.
Yeah, that was nice.
I was, because normally in movies like this, like, when they start kissing, like, it is just like so, like, out of place. Not out of place, but it's just mm-hmm. like, it's like no one would actually end up kissing. That was a very natural.
Yeah, because they were
feelings,
like,
for each other, and we're looking for an excuse to kiss, yeah. and we found it.
They were laughing, they were having a good time. And
it's a thing where, like, you fake out doing something that gets you close to them, and then the photos are coming out, and he's walking up.
And you get that slow motion, boom, boom, you get that music, boom, boom, and it just works.
And you're like, oh, he's going to kill them in the photo booth, and then he just takes the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves, which, again, I'm a big fan of the other. I think he's the hero of this movie. Big fan of him being like, getting this out of the way first.
Need to take my treasure.
I got my trophies. Good for the day. And then then Brooke's like, hey, asshole. And this leads to something I really like about this movie, because then he just walks up and she chases him and give back the photos. And she goes in, like, this back alley into the tense music. You hear a knife scraping.
And you hear him humming his little Pop Goes the Weasel.
Pop Goes the Weasel. And you think there's a lot of things where they fake out. And they, like, it never got to the point where I wasn't ever sure if they're actually going to kill someone in the scene,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But then she just comes back and she's like, yeah, I scared him off. I didn't get the photos back, though. And then we get to they go start playing games, which I love. I love carnival. No skee ball. That's a bit sad.
Yeah,
about
no
that.
Skee ball.
I love
skee ball. You got the classic, like, carnival games, like the air shot with the rifles and the knocking down the milk jugs and things like that.
And he's trying to win her a stuffed animal. And honestly, worth it here because they have their own custom stuffed animals, like really cool custom ones.
Oh, I would 100% waste so much money to win one.
Because Hellfest is a $1 million institution. And I've stopped saying that as like a joke. I understand
it
now.
Really is.
They
like
have
Coachella.
Such a high production value. It's so good. Yeah. But he's terrible. And he spends, like, we found it later, $50. And he just can't win anything. She's like, it's fine. It's fine. And so they walk off to go to, like, another haunted house. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go.
He tells one of the other friends, Asher. He tells Asher, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go win her one. Like, I'll meet you guys over in the other side. I'll meet you guys at the ride.
Yeah, because they're headed towards the Deadlands.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back. And for a split second, for some reason, because I'm an idiot, I thought he was going to try to win it. But he's like, hey, I gave you $50. You should just give me one.
And the dude's like, nah, man. You're shut out of luck. Like,
yeah, I'll lose my job.
But that's a fair deal, to be absolutely honest. Like, that's a
yeah,
fair thing.
It's a
to
fair
ask.
Deal if it was a place of commerce, but it's a carnival game.
Like, I really tried my best. Please just help me out here. I'm trying to impress this girl. I'm a nerdy guy. I don't have any game. Please help.
Yeah, they keep talking about how he's hot. I'm like, he's okay.
He's mid.
He's mid.
He's nice. He's sweet. He's sweet. Fun. He has no game.
No game.
And no reason. But, like, neither does Natalie. Like, Natalie, yeah. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. But, like, she also has no game. She is stuck in her house 24/7 because she says all she does is study. And the one time she comes out of her room to not study and go have fun with some friends, everybody's making fun of her for it. And is like, whoa, why didn't they were going to be here? And everybody's like, she's like, why did everybody think that I wasn't coming? Like,
he's a fucking nerd. I don't respect people who study.
Let me have fun. Don't look at us like that.
That's
if you,
a fucking
if
take.
You had a scholarship, loser.
Shut up.
I had a scholarship for 3 weeks. I got a scholarship because I did really well in testing. I lost it as soon as I got to college because I was not. I'm like, no, I'm going to study. I'm going to sleep through all my classes. Solid B plus student.
We were film students. Yeah. Did we really need to study?
I was a history student before then.
I think I studied for a couple tests because, you know, we had to do our science ones and our math classes and stuff. And we had like physics in our lame physics and entertainment in the arts class.
Yeah. God, that was awful. The core classes just slept through all of them.
But, you know, she comes out, she wants to have a good time, and everybody's like picking on her. And then they were like, oh, guess who's coming? Oh, remember Gavin? And she's like,
oh my God,
are you serious? My favorite line, and my favorite line in the entire movie, is when they're standing in the bedroom at the beginning and Brooke is helping Natalie like get ready. And Brooke is talking about Gavin. And she's like, should I get a ticket for Natalie? Like, she's coming, right? She's coming. Hey, do you think after Hellfest, Natalie would sit on my face? And I was like, I love these cringy lines.
And it was such good acting, too. Like, the lines are so cringy, but, like, that is such believable acting. That is 100% a woman making fun of a dude like Gavin.
Yes.
Like, that's how you do an impression, like, an impression of someone you genuinely like, but you're making fun of them. It's buh, 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 buh.
Because you know they have no game, but you know you want them to be set up with your other friend.
Who has no game. It's a perfect match.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he reveals the... that he's a criminal. He's a dirty thief.
Oh, sure.
Because he's like, I can't buy one. Because he overhears him saying, we put some more in the locker. And he's like, I'm going to go steal one.
And he sneaks off to this back alley.
Yeah, and he goes there. It's my favorite Gavin moment. Is there's like there's the bell machine with the hammer. And he goes to pick up the hammer. He goes, oh, fuck.
He can't do it.
He can't pick it up. He goes, fuck.
It's so hilarious. Because like, how heavy are those hammers? Because like, I've picked them up.
They are heavier than they're supposed to be. I'll give him that. He should be able to pick it up. Maybe not one-handed. Him.
He just like didn't even try. Yeah. He was like, eh, whatever.
But they are heavy because that's the whole point, is that the games are rigged. Yeah. But so he goes inside. He's like going through the lockers. He's like, oh, score. I found a creepy doll. And he closed the door. And there's the other. He's like, oh, you're following us. Okay. You care about your job too much, man. Which is don't tell an actor that.
But there's like nobody else back here.
Yeah.
Like that feels so weird. It's like nobody else is back here, like going on break at all, going to the bathroom.
Oh, as I can speak from personal. So I worked at a Renaissance fair for a few years. And it's not the same thing, but there's a lot of crossover. Like we had a lot of scare actors. And if there's a green room, someone's in it.
Yeah. Because
everyone
back there.
On staff smokes. And you're trying to get through the day or night. So you're going back there to like chug energy drinks and smoke. Because be that kind of acting where you're in character all the time, unless you're in a green room, you need to have moments where you just sit down and cool off. Because you have to be in character 24/7. There, you're right. It's way too empty. And it should be well lit. Like I get it's like, oh, we need dark for the... It's a horror movie. It's going to be a well-lit room, which looks out of place.
There would
There's
be
a bunch
like,
of energy drinks and someone's smoking.
There would be a random tent.
Random tent.
That kind of blends into the background because maybe it's like a blacked out tent, but there would be people in it. There would be a break room.
There's like people brought lawn chairs. Someone's taking a nap in one.
Mm-hmm.
There would be some kind of like the... Like where they block traffic for state fairs, there would be like that gate in front of it. There would just be like a security guard there. Like
there would be someone who sees him going in.
The cast members are probably sneaking off to fuck in there. It's acting's a very horny profession.
Facts,
you know, because what they say in the movie, fear is an aphrodisiac,
and they get scared themselves. They get so scared. Can you imagine? You go, you're like, duh! Oh, I scared myself. I had to go. Fuck, I'm so horny now. I'm gonna go hit up that clown girl I saw earlier.
Yeah, but he you know, sees this other guy and he's like, whatever, dude. And he goes to leave and the scare actor's like, guess what? I can hold up the hammer with one hand.
And he just like, boop, and he's like, oh, whatever. And there's something I really like about how the other moves, which we don't see all the time because a lot of times they just kind of do the standard, like, I'm stabbing you, I'm a scary monster. He's so precise in his fucking movements. And now that I've learned about the actor.
Yeah.
I understand where it's coming from. That's just clicking.
The Navy SEAL.
This guy's a fucking Marine. He's fighting, and the way he moves is 100% a man who's been like trained. Because he goes in like any other horror movie, which is like, I'm gonna just bap you in the face with this hammer. No, he just
slash your throat. He hits him like right here in the neck.
Yeah, he hits him like right in the throat. Or I think the first he hits him with in the solar plexus with the hilt.
Yeah.
And then he goes down, and then he hits him in the neck, and he's just disabling this guy.
Yeah.
And I texted you when this happened.
Yes,
I loved
you
it. Because he drags him over,
it's
and he,
so
puts
perfect.
His, he puts his head on the hammer thing. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And it just cuts to his face. And something I like is that it's something that, like, I feel like a lot of other slasher films do, and I think it just devalues it, is that they focus so much on the actual gore of it.
Yeah.
And you don't need to do that for a slasher film. Because they do the thing where, like, you see the hammer come down, and right before, like, really hits him, you see the silhouette of, like, and blood shoots up. And that's what makes a good slasher film.
Yeah.
You don't need to see the knife tearing through someone. That's what my problem with the Saw series is. It's just torture porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Staring at you because you're like, I'm going to bring the Saw series.
I don't want to fucking bring the Saw series. Please, in fact, I'm
not
hoping she doesn't. I'm hoping Neve does not bring the Saw series. I'm going to have to watch it at Christmas again. So,
is that her Christmas tradition?
It's her birthday is Christmas Eve. So, like, I fucking have to.
Is she okay?
She's fine.
Okay.
We did fall in love with a psych unit, but it's fine.
What a happy couple.
No, Neve is great, but there's a violent streak in her. She wouldn't be the serial killer, but if she was at an event like this where a serial killer was happening, she'd be like, I'm gonna become a killer of serial killers. And you'd be like, babe, no. And she would and like wander off in the crowd. And later you would find her covered in blood because she had like shown up to the serial killer, and she's like, you're not scary, we're gonna wrestle. And then she just like tackles him to the ground. That's how I imagine this would go if Neve was there. I think she could kill a man with her bare hands.
She that absolutely.
And not like in a precise way either. It was, she just go up and go bam bam, beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, she's fucking 5 foot of pure rage. And nah, she would fucking take someone out. It's great.
She gets stabbed, she'd be like, fuck! And then she would just punch him. That's how I honestly imagine that would go.
I love it. I love it a lot.
Like, she wants me to fear her. I don't fear your woman, but I'm very well aware that that is irrational of me.
Correct. Okay. Cool.
That I should fear her.
A tiny level of fear is healthy.
It's a lack of self-preservation. But yeah, so then they're like, where's Kevin? He said he was going to be here. And they're like, oh, just, well, he's gonna win you a stuffed animal because he wants to fuck you. And so they text him, and then they cut back, and his phone goes, broop, broop. And it's something I really like, because a lot of movies would ignore this, but there's the attention to detail
he
in this.
He uses the thumb.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I gotta use his thumb to unlock the phone. Which they didn't need to put in. A lot of movies would go over that. I'm like, that's nice. I'm like, I'm glad they're at least acknowledging most people lock their phones.
What does he do with the body after that, though? Because, like, you cannot tell me that not a single... He left the body back there. Not a single person was like...
I assume he dragged it off somewhere.
Is this guy good? Like, he doesn't look okay. And then they go up and they're like, oh, fuck, he's dead.
His head's gone.
Like, yeah. His head smashed in like a watermelon.
I assume he dragged him off or shoved him in the locker.
He's got to put him somewhere.
But then he replies like, yeah, I'll be right back. And then they're
with
like...
With a smiley face. I love the smiley face that he adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a really good father.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a face at me. Like you don't agree with my character.
No, I am. I was just it's the face that I want to see where you I want to hear you explain yourself.
I just honestly, between the fact that he uses that emoji, that he's aware of these emojis, and that the
he's
hug
a true
at the
family
end,
man.
I truly believe because like there's a lot of serial killers who like not a lot that have kids, but a lot that have like families.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it kind of ties into the fact that like it's part of the game. It's part of the game of I'm this family man people respect, but I'm also doing this thing and nobody knows. Like,
what do you think he does on his off time?
On his off time? I honestly think he takes his daughter places.
Do you think he's like car salesman?
Lawyer? Oh, like his job. I think he's like a...
I think he
does this once a year. Like, have you ever... Do you guys remember Gravy?
Yeah.
Okay. So like they do it only once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and trap these people in a place and then play games with them and then cook them up and eat them once a year because they're cannibals. And that's what this feels like. Like he once a year is like, Man, I really need to do this, like The Purge.
Oh, he's excited. It's on his calendar. He's really excited. He's in a really good mood. I think also he genuinely likes Halloween. So he's also like taking his daughter to like things appropriate for her.
Oh yeah,
and he's
he like, takes going her trick or treating.
And then he's like, now it's daddy's time, and I'm gonna go have a. But no, I think he's a great father. I think he probably works at like an office.
Yeah, definitely corporate job.
An office, or maybe he works in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
He's a trade guy. Maybe he like works at like a machinery place, machining place where he like works on. Like,
oh yeah.
I think to everyone but 21-year-old college students, I think you'd be a lucky person to have this as your friend.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, what's his name? Fuck, how am I blanking? Ed Gein. No, not Ed Gein.
Hale Gein.
Who's the clown?
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. John Wayne Gacy was like a great person to everyone else. He was like a public figure.
Yeah, except for the people that he slaughtered.
Except the people that he slaughtered and shoved in his basement. Otherwise, like, everyone loved John Wayne Gacy because he was just a stand-up guy. I think that's a similar situation here.
Same with, guy that's, oh God, I can't remember his name now. Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
Ted Bundy?
Yeah, Ted Bundy. Like, everybody loved Ted Bundy. Except for the people that, you know, he killed, but like it's fine.
It's a common threat, except for what's his name, Son of Sam.
Yeah,
that guy whose name I'm blanking on.
Same, but Son of Sam, yes.
Yeah, he was just a neurotic mess. Yeah.
Everybody loved him, and then you know he killed people, and those people didn't love him, but it's fine. It's fine.
But unlike Ted Bundy and these other people we mentioned, I truly believe this man, outside of his murderous things, is otherwise a good person. Because I feel like if you took away the murdering from Ted Bundy, you still have a piece of shit, right?
Sure, you have a narcissistic.
You have a terrible man. If you take away the murdering from this guy, you just have a good guy.
That's true.
That's my hot take.
Good dad. Good money-making man. Like, I want to know where the wife is. Like,
I think she probably...
Yeah, probably. I'm saying like
there's
maybe
no other cars in the parking lot.
Maybe that was the inciting incident that we never see.
That his wife
passed or his
wife left,
like got killed or something, and then he was like, "Well, shit, this drunk 21-year-old college student like T-boned my wife. Now I got to take revenge on every 21-year-old college student."
I don't believe in it as a science, but therapy's expensive, so sometimes this is probably a lot cheaper.
That's true.
So. I want to know, in his work shed, first off, the daughter is not allowed in the work shed, obviously.
Well, yeah, he has it locked up.
Yeah. So I want to know, on the calendar, does he just have Hellfest circled? Or, like, does he have more specific?
And then the daughter, like, doesn't have a phone or anything, so she doesn't hear any of this stuff. Like, they're talking on the radio about this when he's driving home. Like, oh, this is what happened at Hellfest tonight. Daughter never hears about it.
She's
also
six.
No, I think she's older than that.
She was like,
she looks like she's like 9 or 10.
I was going to guess 10 or 11, yeah.
And at that point, in like 2018, a kid that age would probably have a phone.
Yeah. She's also sleeping.
Yeah. But like maybe she wasn't before that. Who knows? Who knows how long it takes him to drive home from Hillfest?
Yeah, we don't know how far. It could have been like 3 days later.
Yeah.
Could have been out of state.
That's true. Grandma was asleep upstairs and she passed away in the bedroom and the daughter's just asleep downstairs. Yeah. Like, Dad, I'm so glad you're home. Grandma left me.
You know how you always talk about how you want to see the next like 15 minutes?
Yeah.
This is 100% where I want to see the next. Yes. All I want to do is see her give a stuffed animal and tuck her into bed and that's it.
Yeah, that would have been so sweet.
He gives her the mummy that Gavin was going to give to.
I loved that moment when she was just like, oh, here you go. Thanks, Dad.
Wholesome man.
Yeah. Did you bring me anything? It's like, oh yes, I did.
Occasionally hammer a head in, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's all right.
So like Gavin's not showing up. I don't think he's gonna be the first to die, but I'm like, Gavin's dead.
100%.
And so they go on the, like we said earlier, there's like a little ride between
the night
the parks.
Bumps ride. And they, I love that ride, by the way.
Yeah, it's spooky. It's spooky, but not like an overly spooky way.
I would have fun on that.
And they're going through and they're like, oh, and this is a really good shot sequence. Like, cause she's like, oh, we'll just meet him there. So like couple gets in the car. She gets in the car and it cuts to like couple having a great time kissing. Couple just making out. They're not even like, oh, spooky. They're just fucking going at it. Just her sitting in the car like, oh.
When I was rewatching this, I watched this with my mom and my dad cause my dad had actually never seen this. And I was like sitting there. I was like, oh yeah, there's my two friends. There's my other two friends. And there's me.
There's me.
Sitting in the ride alone.
And like you want to like enjoy it, but you're like, This sucks.
This sucks, man. I'd rather be making out the whole time.
Especially since, like, you were going to.
Yeah. She 100% would have been making out, too, with Gavin. Because at that point, they had already made out.
Yeah.
So.
But then they're going through, and, like, the ride breaks down. And, like, there's a siren. It's like, oh, there's the stay calm. We have to fix the ride. Don't lose your head.
In the graveliest voice
ever. I have to make this pun. It's in my contract. And then, like, he shows up. And it's really, I really like this scene because there's, like, the red light of the hallway. And then it's the thing where, it's the Michael Myers thing where he just, doom, doom, getting closer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's getting to the car. And I'm like, are they going to kill her here? She's screaming. I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's what I liked about this movie. I was never sure if they were going to kill her mm-hmm. or not. I'm like, I don't know who's going to survive this.
I mean, she was the main character. She had plot armor.
I thought they might have, like, fucking were going to, like, change that on me.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, this movie's good.
I wish they would have, honestly. Because that would have been amazing.
But then they just show it. The ride comes off and he's like in her cart and then a bunch of them up. And he's like we said, let the other show you the way. And they're like, wow, this is wicked. Wicked. They made the ride break down so he could do that. Scary.
Which is, I'm sorry. Like, I would have literally had a heart attack. I would have been crying coming out of that if that happened to me.
Honestly, yeah, that's what I would have done because if you hired me to work at your park for some reason, and I've learned they just signed a waiver, I'm like, we need to take advantage of this immediately.
Yeah, I would never sign that waiver. Not happening.
Absolutely
not
scarier
even
than hell, you know?
No. Yeah.
Is that one little
Yeah,
ride.
That's more scary than the whole house. But then they're like having like a grand old time. People are touching them. A bunch of weird little bag children lead them off.
Yeah, that one guy picks the girl up and she runs away with her.
Yeah,
she comes back and she's like, that guy smelled like a hobo's asshole.
Which, having worked with scare actors before,
is true. Ew.
Yes. A lot of them don't smell great. A lot of them don't have great hygiene.
Don't love that.
We've lost our 25% share of our audience of scare actors. I'm alienating our entire audience. But yeah, then they're led off to
that one where they like split up. There's like three options of a house to go into. And the two guys are like, oh yeah, that one looks fun. And then the three girls are like, no, we're going to this one. And honestly, the one that the girls went into seemed a lot scarier than the one the guys went into.
Yeah.
They got fucking chased like right off the bat by this guy in full like knives for hands. Metal get up everywhere.
Yeah, it's the surgeon, because the surgeon's in the chair and he goes,
Whoa! Yes.
And that's what I like about, like, a lot of, I feel like a lot of slashers, especially now, rely on so much like plot and description. But like, so like a good half of this movie is just watching people in a haunted house, and that's great, and it fucking works.
Because that's what people like to watch. I mean, that's why we watch like ghost hunting shows or haunted house stuff, because like, it's just watching things happen, watching people react to it.
I don't want
to
see these characters talking about their problems. I want to see them in a haunted house. That's why I'm watching a movie called Hellfest.
Yeah. We want something fun.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say something.
I did.
It looks like you were whining.
I did, and I lost it, and I did, and I lost it. I don't know. Keep going.
But this is like, because this is where we lose another one of the main cast. Because there is the one.
Ah, yes. Asher.
Shows the such Zoomer name.
I've been trying to figure out that fucking dude's name for the last hour.
They only say it like two or three times in the entire movie. And that's why I had to ask you guys what the other girl's name was. Because they think they only said her name a couple times too.
For a movie that came out in 2018, these are some Zoomer ass names. Mm-hmm. I know one Gavin and one Asher. The Gavin's 20, and the Asher is like a 17-year-old kid that visits the game store I play at.
I know zero Ashers. I know no Natalies. I know one Gavin who's a kid.
I know a Natalie, and she was one of the student workers I worked with once.
I think I know a Brooke.
Yeah, it's all like real Zoomer names.
I mean, Taylor's a common name, but not so common anymore, I feel like.
No, I don't know any Taylors.
So...
I know, other than Asher, I know at least two people by every one of the names of the characters.
And then there's that other guy. Oh, what was his name? Brooke's boyfriend.
Oh.
Quinn? Was it Quinn?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know any Quinns either.
Not really a Zoomer name, just kind of a weird name.
That one's,
I don't,
Asher, oh, love that name. But yeah, no, he gets fucked up.
After, like, again, we see the sheer scale of this operation in which they're in a tunnel and an animatronic train starts advancing towards them.
Very slowly, might I add.
Very slowly.
And they were, like, freaking out.
Very slowly freaking out.
The two guys are babies.
But I like it because, like, it's 100% they're like, we're going to do this. This is going to be part of the haunted house. A train's going to come down a tunnel. Yeah. And they build it. And they can't make it go that fast because then it might actually hurt someone.
That's true. That's true.
That is exactly the speed that that thing could go in real life. Yeah. It's like, we create this haunted train. It's going a bit slow. If it goes any faster, it'll break or it'll hurt someone.
There's something in like the Factor of Terror that it like, something comes out at you, but it comes out very slow. And you're like, ah, it's that, so scary.
It's that short initial scare as the lights turn on. You go, and then it's like,
they hear like the giant train horn go off.
Just because we have a liability like
waiver doesn't mean we can actually kill you by running you over with a fake train.
This is for accidents, not like it doesn't cover premeditated injury.
But then they like there's that sliding wall and they end up separating both the groups. So like the two girls, Brooke and Taylor, get separated from Natalie in their haunted house. So there's two ways to go in there. And then Quinn and Asher
and then
get
she
split
sees
up
the
too.
Other because she's in the other room where it's
yeah.
like,
she gets trapped in that room and then it becomes a fucking escape room in the middle of the
it's like leave no thing. Bone unturned. And I'm like staring at the skeleton in the aquarium.
Yeah.
I'm like,
do we have to reach our hand in
it's
there?
It's probably the skeleton. It's the only bones I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like leave no bone unturned. Leave no bone unturned. And she's like, she's looking like barrels.
Yeah, she's like looking around. She's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Just pull out the fucking, yeah.
And suddenly he's like standing in the plexiglass and just pounding on it at her. First of all, if both groups went in the haunted house at the exact same time, and this is happening in tandem, how did he go from pounding on the wall into all of a sudden, okay, now he's in the other
I assume
house
maintenance.
Killing him.
I assume staff
yeah, like
tunnels.
A back tunnel.
Yeah,
because like,
that's how you get into the booth.
That seems very fast.
It's the it's military.
She
training.
Was in there for a while.
So much of this yeah. this type of shit can just be explained
so much of this character
by him literally
informed.
Being ex-military. Yeah. He definitely is.
100%. It's very it reminiscent. It's the it part two when Pennywise is in the little booth. You're aware it's your favorite movie.
Yeah,
I only watched.
Yeah, I've totally seen it. Yeah, you know me, Harrison Poole, famous it lover.
I've only seen It Chapter 2 one time and I hated it.
What? Why?
Part 1 was better. I will say that.
I was upset they took away Stephen King's cocaine parts. Cause so much of these books are like Stephen King did cocaine or is doing cocaine.
That's true.
Because in the original one they have to summon the power.
Do you not remember them having that giant all the children getting together in order to escape the tunnel and what they have to do?
They took out the child orgy.
Yeah. As they rightfully should have.
In the book they're like he preys on childlike innocence. That's a weakness. So Beverly lays down, they run a train on her. And this protects them from the clown.
It's a really questionable part of the book. And I can see why they took it out of the
movie.
It's
really what created the bond of the Losers Club is that they all finished in the same person. And then later, you're like, that's going to be the craziest thing in this book. No, it's crazier. Just in a less real way, because they have to summon the great, like, astral turtle.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Because they're like, Pennywise has a natural predator. He's a giant space turtle. And there's, like, turtles in the movies as, like, a reference to that. And so they have to summon the power of the great turtle god. Who helps them banish Pennywise.
I'm fully convinced that Stephen King sat at a billboard or a dartboard or something and put a bunch of animals on. It was like, all right, which one is the one that's going to kill Pennywise? All right, and closed his eyes and just threw the dart.
I've always imagined this. He's stumbling in his backyard on cocaine, just having a little walk. And they saw a turtle and he leans down. He's really close to him. He's like, you're not scary. You're the opposite of scary. I will make you a hero. And then later, I'll write the Dark Tower series of books and you'll be a main character. Motherfucker wrote like a series of fantasy novels. He's like, everything's connected. I respect that man so
He's
much.
Having a good time. I wish he wrote Hellfest.
Doesn't remember half the books he's written.
Same. Have you read his memoir on writing?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. He explicitly states he does not remember. Is it Cujo?
I think it's Cujo. He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember writing a single word of Cujo.
I love it.
Because he was such an addict.
Oh, but it's so great. Him. It's so great.
Where were we? Right, the train. You'll cut us in, so we'll just get.
Yeah, 1,000%. I had one more drunk story, and I forget what it was, so it's a good thing.
We'll talk about it later. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the train.
This was my one kill I couldn't watch because it had needles.
Yes, I can't do
fucking eye.
As soon as he grabbed the needle,
I knew that was happening.
Yep.
And then as soon as it happened, I went and I was like, okay, I can't do that.
I looked down at my phone because, like, every time that I'm watching this, I've only ever watched it once, and it was the first time that I watched the movie, because I didn't have any inclination that it was going to happen. I thought he was going to, like, stab him in the neck.
I can't do any needles. And I was like, oh, god damn.
It's, for me, it's the eye stuff.
Yeah, eye stuff, too.
Yeah.
So when he started coming close to him, I was like, oh, my God, it's going to happen, and I have to watch it at least one time so I see it. And after that, I was like, yeah, I am never watching that full on again.
The movie starts rolling from here, though, right? Because we immediately get into, like, the next kill.
Yes.
Which is also was one of my favorite character
moments.
Oh,
that's my favorite part of the movie.
Because they go up and it's like, oh, where is he? I don't know. Where's Gavin? I don't know. Where's, what's her name? Taylor. It's like, oh, she volunteered. And it's this,
cuts to, like, a show.
They're doing a little show where, like, we have to sacrifice someone for Hellfest. It's a fun show. I'm watching the guy who's, like, the presenter. I'm like, this guy loves his job and he's very good at it. And she's freaking out because she realizes that the because she's gonna be guillotined in honor of Satan. She sees his boots. Oh fuck, it's the bathroom, because they're asking what's happening, and a fly guy spits on her
on Natalie, and she has to go, like, wash it off because, like, they can actually throw stuff on you in this other land. Like, in the first part, they threw some, like, there was a clown throwing, like, the confetti and stuff and then running away, and, like, that's okay, that's not gonna make a mess. But in this other part of Hellfest, they're able to.
It's not okay. I'd rather be flied.
No, 1,000%. I would much rather 100%. Be vomited on by flies than anywhere near a clown.
But she gets this, like, slime stuff all up on her, and it's disgusting. And then she goes into the bathroom, and she's sitting down, and she starts texting Gavin, and, you know, another phone in the bathroom goes off. She doesn't think anything of it because, you know, who would? I mean, this is a public place.
Yeah.
But then it does it again as she's texting.
Yeah, because she's like, I'll come back. She's like, how close are you? And then she texts, it's boop, boop, right outside the door.
Yeah.
And the door starts rattling. She calls the next one and stops. And that's when they first get the police involved. He's like, I don't know, did he harm you? Like, they're not supposed to be in here, but I can't do anything.
He's like, you paid to be scared, right? Like, are you scared?
I think he should have taken it. Then they did their job. The thing is, like, I think he should have taken it a bit more seriously, but I also understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, that's
true. He's a bit
of
a dick about it, but at that point, there's really nothing
he
could do.
They were in that other section of the park when they could be touched, and, like, he did grab her, like, by the head and stuff.
And he's like, she could give a description, he probably would have looked into it, because they're not supposed to be in the bathroom.
But when she told him, like, what mask he was wearing, he's like, you just described, like, 15 other people in the park.
Yeah.
So, but I get it. Also, where'd he get that mask from in the first place?
I don't know.
You just take it off one of the Halloween. Others. Well, that seems like a pretty specific mask. I don't know.
Custom made it. He's really into arts and crafts with his daughter. He made it with his daughter.
Aw, how wonderful.
She made it for
him. He's such a good dad.
I love this guy. So she sees and she's freaking out. She's like, oh, it's going to die. And then the guillotine comes down. The head rolls, but it's a fake head. And she's fine. It's all part of the show.
My question is, so Taylor has very specific hair, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got that, like, it's dark underneath and then it's spiked up, and she's got the blonde tips. Like, how the fuck did they make a mannequin that fast with that haircut?
They have a mannequin.
Like,
I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's done stage work, they have three mannequin. Like, they have mannequin heads of different hair lengths and hair product.
Yep.
And they, when they're back
on
the stage.
That was so fast, though.
Well, because they're back on the stage, they're explaining how the show's going to work. They're explaining. Okay. But, hey, you're going to pull back. It's going to go down. Because, like, when you're doing something like that with the performer, you let them in. It's like magic.
Yeah.
And then while they're doing that, someone is going whoop, and saying, good enough. Because it's fun.
It's not perfect, but.
Because it's just fun for the crowd. You don't need to make it perfect. It just needs to be slightly believable.
It's just so fast, though. Like, but I guess they are, thinking about it, they are in the bathroom for a pretty long time while this is going on. So I guess they would have.
And they would have done a dry rehearsal once with her, too. Mm-hmm. So But they do like that, and then the police are like, we're gonna have to like kick you out if you keep acting like this. Like, this is just
she's like, good,
because he's freaking out, and good. Then she's like, all right, let me out, and then he just chains her down again and pushes her in, and she starts like freaking out because he takes off the hood, revealing that he's wearing a hoodie in the mask, and she goes, oh fuck, the scariest thing, a man in a hoodie.
I told my dad, I was like, it's one of those Scooby-Doo moments where they're like, ah, now who's beneath the mask? Oh, no, it's Old Man Jenkins. Oh, wait, that's another mask. And then they take off another one.
And then it's my favorite fucking thing. It's literally my favorite moment because it drops the guillotine. You're like, oh, her head's going to come off. But it doesn't. Nothing. And then he kind of like looks and he walks over and he wrenches. She's like, she's fucked up. And he pulls it up and he looks at
it. He feels it.
He
too.
Feels it and goes, all right, like, yeah, it's dull. It's a dull thing because in case it accidentally falls on them, yeah. You're not going to kill them. And he goes, I'm going to do it again. It's going to work eventually.
Eventually, it'll get to the spine and, you know,
but
then
she gets out and she starts running away. She's like, help me, help me. And he runs up to her. And it is I think this is my favorite kill because of just how quick it is. Because he runs up and he just fucking stabs her in the, he slashes her in the face. People start screaming. He stabs her in the stomach. The boy walks up, says, what's going on? He just goes, bam, bam, kills him instantly with his Marine military training.
Because at first, like, she's walking and she's, not walking. Wow. She's running away from this guy. And all these people, like, stop her and block her in. And she's like, no, no, no. And the guy kills her. And then they're like, haha, that was so funny. And then when this other guy walks up and they kill him, they're like, oh, shit, man. We let her die. And they start running away. Like,
and it's pandemonium. Yeah. Everyone starts running, screaming. They start evacuating the park. And then they are trying to escape. And they're like, oh, let's go through here. And they're and it's the one line I love where it's like, it's another maze.
Oh, no, we're in hell. Literally.
Not literally, though, because the production value is a bit lower here. And then there is just like a lot of good, fun moments. Because we're in the meat of the action right now. It goes really fast.
Yeah, there's only like 25 minutes left of the movie at this point. Like, yeah.
So I checked, I'm like, how close are we to the end? I'm like, exactly where I thought we should be.
Yeah.
It's incredibly well paced.
And they end up stopping this guy that they think is him. And you think it is because like he's casually walking towards the two girls
that's
that ran away.
That's a different guy because it's a red shoes.
But it turns out it's completely not him.
And then they're like, going through hell. We have a lot of fun hijinks. They discover the trip
little
sensors,
trips,
they arm themselves at several points, they attack what they think is him, but it's like a prop that pops up, and every single time they go, oh god damn it, they're like so annoyed, like fuck.
And then we get to that point that
he gets a
mentioned.
Fire axe and locks them in.
Yes. Oh, I love that, because honestly, if I were doing this, I would have immediately ran into the maze, hid like off to the side, not gone further, but like hid off to the side, waited till he came in, waited till he was like away from the door, and then gone. Just immediately back out. Cause like if you try to go through the maze, like how are you gonna find your way when you've never been through that maze? But they're like, nah, we gotta go through. Oh no, we can't go through. Now we gotta hide in this weird closet right there.
We're hiding in this weird closet where the most corporate emergency alarm goes off, where it's like, there's been an incident. Please evacuate the park.
When you said, if I were doing this, I thought you were going to explain from the killer's perspective.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's like, if I were killing these 21-year-olds.
If I were killing these 21-year-olds, first of all, yes to the axe. Second of all, yes to locking them in. That was very smart of
him. Yeah, 1,000%.
Third of all, check the fucking closet, though. Like, I would have immediately checked that closet as a killer because that's a very obvious closet to be sitting there.
Because they get stuck, because he axes her at one point, but then she knocks him down.
Yes, it's when they're in that room with all, like, the masks. So they end up in this, like, dead-end-looking space.
Yeah.
And it's all these mannequins with black hoods and then a white mask face, and it's a ton of them in there. And they do use it to their advantage, and it is pretty smart. And
that was
what
I
was saying
smart.
With the necklace earlier. She takes her necklace off and puts it on the mannequin, just peeking out. So it's almost like she's trying to trick him. And I think that was honestly like the smartest thing that she could have done.
Yeah,
because
when
in that
he swings the axe, it gets stuck in that one.
And then he's trying to get it out.
Also, it shows he really is a true Halloween aficionado because he walks in, immediately finds the exit. He's been here before.
Yeah.
He probably goes a day 100%. Before just to enjoy it.
Oh, yes. He brought his daughter. No, wait. She's not 14 yet.
It's a traveling show, so likely he follows the show. Like, if
he definitely could have. I wonder.
I truly believe he just went the night before because he's like, well, I'm not going to be able to come back.
Sure.
And I love Halloween so much. I want to experience this fun show.
I just want to have a good time, you know, take a pretty girl out on a date. Maybe she'll be my daughter's new mom.
Maybe that's where he's got the mask, because he just grabbed it on his way out when he was just having a good time.
But then he had to empty his pockets and stuff when he came back into the park the next day, so.
They do. Just a metal thing, so that's the metal detector.
Yeah, but they make you, like, empty your pockets, because you have to go through the detector.
You can keep non-metal things in there. Also,
you're
going to
keep the whole ass mask in there? Huh? You're going to keep the whole ass mask? Hoodie. That's a big mask.
Yeah, he scrunched it up. No, also you can get a lot. I once watched a man who's carrying a pocket knife walk through a security gate.
And they didn't say anything?
No, because it's close enough to his belt.
Ugh, I'm concerned.
You should be. It's a flaw of technology.
Yeah, it's great. One time I went through a TSA and it went off and I had nothing on me. And they were like, your crotch went off. And I said, huh? And they showed me the picture, and it, like, shows you the full body, like, scan, and it shows you, like, if it glows red in that area, like, that's what went off. And I was like, I don't know what you're going to find in there, but good luck, buddy, because I don't have anything in there. And they're like, do you care if you do a pat-down? I was like, go ahead.
That should be your Tinder bio.
I have nothing to hide.
My crotch is a TSA flight.
I was going to say, my crotch sets off metal detectors.
Yeah, I got my Benoit balls were up there, you know, just casually wearing them on a three-hour flight to Florida. It's fine.
Just getting some work in.
Doing some kegels, you know. Some kegels. It's fine. It's great.
I'm sorry. Am I not allowed to care about my feminine health? You want my walls weak, idiot? Let me through.
Anyway.
TSA hates a strong woman.
Oh, yeah. They definitely hate me every time I go through because I have to separate everything into, like, at least three bins because I got my Kindle and you can't leave that in your bag because it's a tablet. And then next time I'm bringing a snackle box next month with me because I've learned that when there's a lot of turbulence, they don't give you snacks. And I get very snacky on a plane. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring a snackle box. So then I got to take that probably out too so they can look at that and make sure there's no liquid type food so I can't bring like gushers or else they won't let me take it.
9/11 ruined this country.
Anyway.
Moving on.
So, but yeah, no.
Because then they get split up at this point, too.
Yes. So they end up...
She stabs him a bit, and then they
run
off.
Yeah, he grabs his knife, and... or no, she grabs, like, a mannequin arm or something, and, like, whacks him upside the head. And then he, like, knocks her down, but he ends up getting the axe out and, like, throat checks, punches her, or hits her, like, in the head or something. No.
The nose, right?
Right, like, here. Yeah. He hits her right here in the nose and knocks her out and goes after Brooke, who's already been
axed
at one point and she's got a slice open. So now she's like limping through this hell maze, which is hell to go through because it's so dumb the way that it looks. It's literally just a bunch of black walls. And every so often you hit a tripwire that opens up a panel and there's a scary mannequin in there popping out at you going, ha ha ha, here I am.
The show ran out of budget.
Yeah, it definitely ran out of budget at that point.
They didn't start the attraction. They started on everything else, which is why the rest of the park is so much better than it should be. When they got to their main attraction, they said, like, oh, fuck.
We don't have any money. Well, shit.
We spent it all on the train.
The train that moves at 0.5 miles an hour.
5 miles an hour. Oh, no.
Just
do tripwires. But this is a really fun scene because he's about to get her and then he does the tripwire, the panel opens, and then
Natalie's in there with a knife.
And knives.
She stabs him one time and then says, all right, Brooke, let's go. Like, stab him again.
Yeah.
Take the axe. Hit him upside the do something. Like,
you can legally murder this person in most states at this point.
They're not gonna get you for killing the killer who just murdered four of your friends. Like, four.
Yeah,
four.
But then they're like coming out and the police come in and he's like right behind us and they're like, they're looking around. You see the blood spot where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Halloween ending all over again.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, you see the blood stain like moved. So you see he slid into one of the walls that they don't know about. Because at that point, they pretty much shut the power for that down. Because imagine being a cop going into that place looking for this guy. No, but they are really just not even trying to look for this guy. Like, they see the blood splatter and they don't see it, the fact that it looks like it's like halfway under the wall, and don't even question it. They are the worst police officers ever.
But it's such a good ending because they're outside. Mm-hmm. They're like, we didn't find, we're gonna keep looking.
She's like, huh?
And they move away from the main characters and we get to that scene we described where he just goes home.
Mm-hmm.
lovingly greets his daughter, and it's the credits. And that's a great end to a slasher film. Mm-hmm. You don't need to catch the slasher.
Do you think...
Or kill the main people.
Also...
That's true.
He just got stabbed. He gonna be hurting. Like,
he shows no signs of being hurt or injured or
army
anything.
Army strong.
Is it army strong, or is it like the weird dad mode where he's there like, it no doesn't matter how much pain.
It's probably the weird dad mode.
It doesn't matter how much fucking pain I'm in. I need to not show my daughter weakness.
Like there is no blood on this man at all. This dad hugs this daughter. No blood gets on her. Nothing.
He might have cleaned himself up on the way home.
Glued himself in the car. Yeah.
I assume he probably had like a first aid kit or something, and he stitched himself up in the trunk of the car after he left, of course. But now, like, oh fuck, man, that car's probably covered with blood. Now he's gonna have to explain that to the
nah, he had a tarp in the back of the Subaru.
Oh, fun.
yeah
but he had to, wouldn't he have had to like drive away first and then stitch himself up and then go home? Because you don't want to sit in the parking lot of Hellfest while all these cops are here and they're like, hey buddy, what you doing in there?
I got stabbed by the killer. There you go. That's all I need to say.
Can we have a talk with you?
That might be it. You take off the mask and you have no fucking idea.
That's true.
He could have gotten first aided. Like,
that is very true. Like, oh man, I got hurt. Help.
Wow, this movie was so good and so well paced.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really came to appreciate. I understand better than anyone in this room how well paced this movie is, because we're doing a little behind the scenes in my own personal life. I overslept, like I often do. I watched this movie at double speed.
No, you did not.
Yes, he did. He texted me that he
was... I listen to my books at double speed.
It took me 45 minutes to watch this movie.
Wow.
And I think it's such a testament to the movie that the pacing, everything felt great.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just felt like a great movie. Like I'm not at a single point am I like, oh, this is going too fast, I don't know what's going on.
It's the perfect length too.
Yeah.
Like it's the right length. It didn't need any extra scenes. It didn't need anything extra happening. You get that right amount of, oh, they get into the park. Okay. They're goofing off. They're taking shots. They're going and visiting some of the houses. They're just genuinely having a good time. Then you get the whole, them playing the carnival games in that moment, and it keeps cutting between Asher and Taylor, and then Quinn and Brooke and Gavin and Natalie, and you like get these quick cuts between them, and they're all having a good time, and then all of a sudden it starts slowing back down, and you get that cute moment, and then it picks back up because then they're going and the first person gets killed.
It's also such a good movie because it is one of those movies that like it feels like Halloween.
Yeah.
Like I always say that Trick or Treat's like that movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
Trick or Treat is like a Halloween movie. Not just like, oh, it's spooky, so I'm going to watch a Halloween. This is a Halloween movie.
Yeah. Like this doesn't take place like on Halloween though. That's what's great.
Does it not?
It just takes place in October. Because they're like at the beginning of the movie when Natalie's saying like, well, I had to study, and Taylor goes, dude, it is October. We save that shit for December. Like, it's just October. It's not actually on Halloween. It's just Halloween time.
It's the spirit of Halloween.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this is like, it's supposed to be like opening night of Hellfest, I think. Because everybody's talking about it and they say that it's sold out. And it sold out as soon as tickets went up for sale. Which is why Gavin was like, yeah, I'll buy all the tickets for you guys, and ends up getting VIP.
They're going to have to do a lot of refunds.
Yeah.
Because that park is not opening again.
They're like, well, shit, this guy just ruined it for all of us.
I'm so glad. I wish I knew VIP tickets existed when I went to the Scare Grounds last time.
Yep.
We did the Haunted Farm specifically to avoid the Haunted Circus.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I'm the biggest It fan in the world. Mm-hmm. And the lobbies, like the waiting lobbies, they swapped them and didn't tell me. So I'm standing there with Geneva having a 45-minute fucking panic attack, squeezing her hand so hard that I later learn I am bruising it.
Oh.
And at one point near the end, I managed to creak out the words, I'm so happy you already like me, because this is fucking embarrassing.
Imagine that's your first date.
It was.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
I deeply apologize.
No, it's fine. It was first date. It was fine. All's good.
Well, then they already know. Okay, anyway, moving on.
So, where were we? We were wrapping up. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we were getting to it. But I really love this movie. I watch it every single year, and it's just fun. It's just fun to watch. And I did talk to my dad after we got it done because I was like, what'd you think? And he's like, actually, I really enjoyed it. I like the guy. I like the character. I was like, you know, I wish they would have made a sequel. And he goes, no, I don't think they need it. And I was like, I agree. Because I think the way that this movie ends, that it just shows that it could be any normal person. Mm-hmm. Being a killer definitely works. Would I have liked to see a sequel and see where this guy goes next? And maybe he hunts them down because they said they were going to... Brooke and Natalie said they were going to go to Spain together. So maybe that's where they go. Like, they go under witness protection to a different country or something, or to a different state. And he tries to, like, track them down or something. And now they're, like, terrified of Halloween, of course, because, you know.
But Spanish.
Four of their friends the Diablo got Festival. Fucking married. Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah. I would love if it became, like an earnest series, but it's just following this guy. The other goes to camp.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Lois.
No, it'd be perfect. The other thing I was thinking of is, like, if any of the other four characters would have survived instead of those two, which one would you guys think it have been? Or which one would you have, like, wanted it to be?
I think it'd have been Taylor, because I don't trust those boys.
Yeah, that's 1,000%.
That was what I was thinking too, because, like, Taylor, I feel like she loves Halloween so much.
And she almost got away.
Mm-hmm. And it was, like, her favorite thing, and she was so excited. And I feel like she was so excited for this and so making fun of Natalie and all this stuff that I think they could have made it as, like, she's the one that does get away. And now, like, we follow her, and now she hates Halloween, and she's terrified of it because all the rest of her friends got fucking gutted. In a haunted house, as they say.
Plus the idea that, like, the two girls who didn't like each other in the beginning are the last two survivors.
Yes,
and then they have this trauma bonded
so
moment.
Fun.
Yeah.
That would have been
just
fun.
He's making friendships is what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's making the friendships he wants his daughter
together.
To have.
Aw.
He's a big family man. I love this guy. I wish he was my dad.
Imagine, like,
he wouldn't
years,
leave me.
Imagine years from now, like, I don't know what, I don't remember if it ever specifically said what Natalie was, like, studying. In school, or what any of them were studying.
Nursing. She looks like a nurse.
Maybe.
She's complaining about how much she has to study. Yeah, she's like, I do okay. So much work, but it's going to be worth it someday because
yeah,
I'm going to have a job. I'm always going to have a job. It's going to pay well.
What if she became like a high school teacher and his daughter ended up in her class? Like that.
Let's get to writing the sequel
oh,
now.
That would be so much fun. Because then it was like all of a sudden parent-teacher conferences come up.
It's almost becoming like a dark comedy where he's trying to kill her, but mm-hmm. he can't let his daughter know. He's also trying to make sure his daughter has a good love of Halloween, not rooting
yeah.
for her.
He
and
could
so it's like
seduce
a slapstick
her.
Horror movie as he's desperately trying to kill women, not reveal that his deception, and make sure his daughter still loves Halloween at the same time.
The actress.
That's the main point. His daughter has to love Halloween forever.
He doesn't want to ruin it for her.
The actress who plays the daughter has to probably be like 16. We wait 2 years until we don't
That's
have
true.
To obey child labor laws. Mm-hmm. And then.
But you never really have to.
And then we make it. Like, we cast everyone back. I'm completely ignoring that.
Fun. Get the get the Navy SEAL on the phone. Or whatever it was. It
Marine.
Wasn't Navy. Marine, sorry. Yeah. The Marine. Get the Marine on the phone. The tactical parachuting guy. Tell him, hey, we got a proposition
we
for you.
We have a second acting job. It's the same as the first.
It's the same role. We still don't know what your face looks like. No one's ever going to know because, you know, he shows up in a fucking mask to the school.
I wanted to be like the Peanuts where you never see his face.
Or like, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The camera angles is always such that you never actually see his face on mask.
Kind of like Skinamarink.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Skinamarink?
I have not. I want to.
Oh, you guys should add that to your list.
Will do. Also, we've seen his face now, but I still couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
No,
he just looks like
he's
a military
other,
white
yeah.
dude.
He's just an average guy. And I'm sitting here, and then you get this. The only other time that you see the other without a mask is when they rip the mask off the one guy that they mistake is him. And it's this, like, fucking 20-year-old dude in red sneakers, and he's just like, huh?
Huh?
Me?
So what's your guys' favorite kill of the movie?
Favorite kill?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with the no, it wasn't really the kill.
Gavin. 100% yeah, Gavin. 100%.
It's Gavin.
Although the second favorite is the quick turnaround as he murders the guy after Taylor.
Quinn.
Taylor and Quinn. Like, that was pretty good. I feel bad for Quinn, though. Like, he didn't get, like, a fun death. Everybody else kind of got, like, a fun, torturous death. And then Quinn's was just like...
Poor Quinn went out quickly.
Yeah, he did.
Poor Quinn got a clean, easy death.
But Gavin's...
It's probably not the only thing that quick and easy for him. The way that he is.
Yeah. Do you guys have any like final thoughts? Are we wrapping this up?
I think we're wrapping
this
up.
Yeah, I think we should.
Any final thoughts? Whoever wants to go first.
I wish this man was my dad.
Yeah. I wish I was his daughter. I feel like he would treat me right as a daughter.
Yeah.
He'd make sure that I loved Halloween every year from here on out.
I would know what his face looks like. Yeah. Unlike my own father's. No, I do. Fuck, I can't do that anymore. God damn it.
Yeah, no, you have
I'm sorry I repressed it so much.
You remember when he was eaten by bears. Remember. You've seen photos.
Tragic death. My father eaten by bears. This guy could kill a bear. No problem. Great dad.
But yeah, this is a very paint-by-numbers horror movie. I saw everything coming before it happened, and I don't care. I love
it. It was just fun. It was truly, a good time.
Let me turn my brain off and just enjoy it. Let dumb horror movies be dumb horror movies. Let schlock be schlock. I understand why this wasn't a critical darling, but like at the same time, it accomplished its goal perfectly.
Yes, and let Hellfest be real. I want somebody to make Hellfest a real thing because I feel like I would absolutely go. I would absolutely buy VIP tickets to skip the lines, of course. It feels like Halloween Horror Nights, but on a better budget. And I want
to buy a moving train.
Except for the literal scariest haunted house not being scary. But that's okay because by that point, I'd probably be too wasted to remember it.
So we're going to do socials.
Oh, yeah, go for
it. I cut them down each week as I continuously, like, I don't care about Twitter.
Okay, so what's the... Go
end you can
it.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're a two-man movie podcast on Instagram. If you want to email us something, perhaps your plans for a better Hell House, you can email that at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at Midwest_magician. You can find Harrison at...
HarrisonPoole.com on Instagram and TikTok, POOLE, HarrisonPoole.com. Where can they find you, or do you want them to find you?
I honestly have no idea what my TikTok handle is, but on Instagram, I'm at JennaMB12.
Fuck yeah.
Send her your plans. Send her your plan. If you're a guy like this, be your sir good dad. Reach out to her.
Yeah,
she needs that.
If you want to be my Gavin, you know, my
sad boyfriend,
my nerdy little sad boyfriend
little
too.
Film boy.
Shoot me up with a DM.
Thank you to Tristan Hofstetter for our theme
you're gonna
song.
Regret that in like 5 years, of people going,
I know, 1000%. You're gonna change your handle. Thank you to Tristan Hofstetter for our theme song. Thank you to you for listening.
Tell your friends.
Thank you, Jenna, for showing up and being here. It was a fun ass time.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I had a lot of fun.
We'll see you next time. Kisses. Why don't you ever give kisses?
No.
Give them some kisses.
Thank I you, love Jenna. You, Matthew.
I love you, too.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.